Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, thank you for bringing us to your house this day. As we hear the words of the scriptures and this message, open our hearts and ears to know your love and compassion for us. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Today we continue the sermon series from the second book of the Bible, Exodus. The readings we heard today follow last week's lessons on the pillars of cloud and fire. The Lord had led the Israelites through the wilderness to the Red Sea. The scripture continues to tell us that after all the 10 plagues sent upon Egypt by God, God continued to harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh did let the people go, but God still hardened the hearts so that the Egyptians would know that God was the Lord. Not long after Pharaoh let God's people go, the Egyptians said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?" So the Egyptians mounted Pharaoh's horses and chariots to catch and overtake the recently freed slaves who had been underfed and overworked for so long, these weakened people of Israel, men, women, and children. And at the sea, it seemed that their fate would be to drown or to die at the hands of the Egyptian armies that were closing upon them. But they were not alone. God was with them. In the second reading, as the Israelites were at the water's edge, the chariots were approaching fast upon them, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me?" And at that moment, when it seemed that the Israelites were stuck in a very difficult predicament, God was with them and at work. The pillar of cloud and fire that had led the people to the place now moved behind them and kept the Egyptians from the Israelites. Even the Egyptians again will see the power of God now, as the seas part at God's command. God gives Moses the power to raise his staff, and the waters of the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, part so that God's people may cross. The wind blows, and the sea is divided, and dry land appears. What a frightening moment that must have been for all who witnessed it, but that's the power of God. The elements of this story, water, wind, and dry land, are the first creations of God at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1. And the waters of the sea become great walls on either side and a dry pathway for the Israelites to cross on. And when the people have crossed, the armies and chariots followed behind them. And as the Egyptian chariots and horses crossed behind the people of God, God in the pillar of cloud and fire sent a panic into the armies. The men of the armies didn't have hardened hearts like Pharaoh, but indeed they knew it was God who was fighting against Egypt. Even the Egyptian armies know God is with the Israelites. And in the gospel reading today from Mark is another story about crossing a body of water. Jesus in a boat crossing the lake to the country of Gerasenes. And there Jesus met a man of unclean spirit, a man possessed by demons who had been outcast of the city. In the time when Jesus walked the earth, the unacceptable people of society weren't just homeless sleeping on the streets. Some may have, but this man was banished even further by being relegated to live among the tombs. The scripture states that not even shackles and chains could restrain him. So he was truly a madman and must have been out of his mind and unable to control himself. This is described by the day and night howling and the self-inflicted bruising. Living among the tombs meant that the man would be living in dark caves among the decaying body of the dead, likely filled with foul smells and scavengers like rats. But when he sees Jesus, there's some glimmer within his crazed mind, and he acknowledges who Jesus is. He bows to him and shouts, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" For he was fearful, too, that Jesus would torment him. Instead, before a possessed man even requests it, Jesus commands the demonic spirits leave the tormented man. And Jesus continues in a loving and compassionate act by asking the man his name. The possessed man states his name is Legion. Legion is a term for a Roman military unit of about 6,000 soldiers. Perhaps the man felt like he'd been plagued with 6,000 demonic spirits. His life had become so terrible, he couldn't be controlled with restraints. He lived isolated and alone, screaming day and night, hurting himself, living in the least desirable place, among dead, dark, stench. Truly no one cared about his soul until Jesus. This man was tormented by spirits and alone in the world until God in Jesus came to him that day. Jesus sends the demons into the herd of swine, about 2,000 of them, who then rushed down the steep bank and drowned. The evil spirits were drowned in the water, like the Egyptian chariot drivers and the chariots in the Red Sea. God removed evil from the people God loves. So is our takeaway from these chapters of the Bible that God is the hero and conqueror of all evil? God drowned 600 chariots and officers and 2,000 pigs filled with unclean spirits. Do you think everyone was happy with the works of God and Jesus in these stories? Think for a moment about the armies, who in the 25th verse of Exodus 14 were panicked and said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." They did not have hardened hearts like Pharaoh. They recognized the power of God. And think for a moment about the families of the armies that drowned that day. They were sons and husbands and fathers. Now there was much sadness in Egypt and also with God. God's power was demonstrated by the parting of the sea to save the people of Israel. But God also grieves all loss, even when it's the loss of the lives of the armies. In Gerasenes, the swineherd was the livestock of the pig farmers. They essentially lost their cash, their money. The people of Gerasenes had been treating the social outcast with such disdain that they may not have understood why the pigs, the livelihood of the farmers, were lost for the soul of one man. Jesus put that life of one man in higher regard than 2,000 pigs. God's love for a single man was demonstrated by the actions of God's Son Jesus. The legions of evil spirits left the man, and the pigs took them and drowned in the sea. God's justice for one soul was paid. There's a cost in both stories. When God and Jesus act against evil, sometimes there's a cost. But the good news is the evil is gone, and therefore we trust God. God is with us. The movie Unbroken demonstrates the power God's love can have in the life of one man. In 1919, Louise Zamperini was an outcast in his own hometown of Torrance, California, because he was Italian and the family spoke no English. His father taught him to box, and soon Louis claimed to beat the tar out of everyone who had bullied him. And he also added, "I relish the idea of getting even. I was sort of addicted to it." However, his brother Pete Zamperini convinced him to join the track team, and eventually he became an Olympic athlete. Competing as the youngest American qualifier at the age of 19 in the 1936 Olympics. Later, he joined the United States Air Corps in 1941 and was deployed to the Pacific. May of 1943, he was assigned to a bombing mission with 10 other men. The aircraft was put together with parts of other planes, but was certified able to fly. And so, after several mechanical functions occurred on the lemon of a plane, it crashed into the ocean. Only 3 of 11 men survived. And after 33 days adrift, one died. On the 47th day, the two remaining reached land, where they were immediately captured by the Japanese. Life from that moment until his freedom in August 1945 was filled with simply evil torture at the hands of the Japanese. Watching the movie is very uncomfortable to realize the impact of 47 days living on raw fish afloat at sea, but then to be tortured for over 2 years at the hands of men is disturbing and stuff that nightmares are made of. War is truly evil, and wartime brings out evil in others. One particular Japanese commander targeted Zamperini mercilessly. The events Louis survived go beyond the pale. Interspersed throughout the movie are flashback scenes of Zamperini watching his mother in her acts of loving kindness and prayer for her family and others. When stationed in Hawaii before the fateful flight, Zamperini walks upon the pilot praying. So when they are the only survivors of that crash at sea, he tells of his mother praying. And the pilot he survived with in that raft also talks about prayer as well. The scenes at sea are filled with wondrous and beautiful shots of the sky, of clouds during sunny days and storm clouds on stormy days. Not pillars of clouds, but clouds the same. If God was a pillar of clouds in leading the people of Israel to freedom in Exodus, God is present in the clouds. At sea was Zamperini too. After Zamperini is freed, he returns to the United States and he marries. But as he struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder, he turns to alcohol. One day, his wife encourages him to attend a Billy Graham rally where Louis Zamperini's life changes. The movie does not spend a lot of time on the reformation of that character, nor the words spoken by Billy Graham, or even the religious personal beliefs of our main character. This was done intentionally so as not to discriminate against anyone's religious denominations. However, the movie simply focuses on the power of God's love in Zamperini. Louis went so far as to visit Japan in 1950 to personally tell the Japanese prisoner of war soldiers who had tortured him during the war that he forgave them. There's captioned video clips of him running with the Olympic torch on the streets of Nagano, Japan in 1998, and he is smiling. Was the influence and prayer on the lives of the others that Louis Zamperini finally understood that day at the rally that changed his heart? Was it time at sea staring at the heavens that enabled him to later forgive others? Why would a man intentionally cross waters to return to a place of torture and hatred and say, "I forgive you"? The story of Louis Zamperini is simple. When he forgave them, his nightmares ceased. Many died in World War II, including so many at the hands of Allied forces. When evil prevails, there is loss. To stop evil, there also is loss. And as the world remembers the atrocities of that war and other wars, God grieves with us at the loss of lives and the lives that are changed forevermore. The prayer of the day that we read earlier included, "Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom and make us desire always and only your will." A mighty and all-powerful love from God gave Zamperini the gift of forgiveness. God saved his life for a purpose. Jesus saved the outcast who became a changed man. Jesus valued the life of society's outcast as worthy to be saved. And God saved his people as he led them across the sea to dry land. God's love for us is all-powerful and never-ending. God's love cleanses evil at a price. We have already been saved by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Therefore, let us be servants of God by treating others with respect in spite of our differences. Put your trust in God, for God is all-powerful, full of compassion for what is good, and always with you.